I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
This is the Mike Rosen Show.
Adjectives on the typewriter. He moves his words like a prize fighter. If somebody...
Mike Rosen.
You got to see it all.
On News Radio 850 KOA.
I look at it as the left is just trying to demonize a movement that, quite frankly, I consider the re-emancipation of America. I call it Emancipation 2. This time, everybody gets freed.
Welcome back to the Mike Rosen Show. That voice you heard was our guest right here on the Mike Rosen Show, Kevin Jackson, author of The Big Black Lie, a book I just read in the past 2.5 days. A tremendous book, Kevin's life story and how he came to be basically a conservative Republican. I had the chance to meet Kevin just about a week ago in Steamboat Springs. Heard him talk. He's hilarious. Got to hang around, have a beer with him afterwards, and hear him play the piano a little bit. Kevin, welcome to the Mike Rosen Show. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be on, man.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Now, your book is unbelievable, and I should mention, in addition to the Big Black Lie, you've got another book coming out any time now, right?
I do. It's called Sexy Brilliance and Other Political Lies, and I had to add the second part because I didn't want people thinking it was an autobiography.
Now, with Sexy Brilliance, are you talking about Barack Obama?
Yeah, Michael Eric Dyson said that Obama brought sexy brilliance to the White House, and I immediately chuckled and said he must have a pet hamster or something named Sexy Brilliance.
Now,
so I decided to title the book that because I thought it was intriguing. It would be intriguing enough.
Speaking of brilliance, you know, what do you make, the sort of topic of the day, of Barack Obama's fight with John Boehner over when to give his jobs talk before Congress?
I think it's proving that Obama is finally realizing that, you know, there's a bit of a kink in the armor. And he can't go around, you know, with this blustering idea that he's the smartest guy in the room and that he can, you know, sway public opinion with just the movement of his lips and all that. And hopefully it lets Boehner know that he's got the power to dictate how things work in government, at least for the time being, and that he's gotten that power from the will of the people, the Tea Party movement, the grassroots movement, where the power should be, the voice of the people. So I think it's great that he got that moved, Obama did not want to do it on the first day, you know, of the football season. So you know, for him to capitulate to that degree, he's in pain.
I think you're right, and this is just such an obvious victory. It's just so black and white, no pun intended,
right.
Maybe pun intended, that you know, Obama lost and Boehner won, and not because of a race thing, but just Obama lost. I mean, that's a good thing. Now, it seems like Barack Obama's strategy right now is to run against Congress, but this is something you talk about a lot. The Congressional Black Caucus, what they seem to be doing is running against the Tea Party, and you are a black Tea Party activist. So what do you make of this?
Well, I think the Congressional Black Caucus, quite frankly, is the most egregious flash mob that's out there right now. You know, we've got these black kids running around 200-300 at a time. Well, the CBC is nothing more than a political version of the black flash mob. And these guys are out there saying the most incendiary things about the Tea Party because you know what it does? It reflects, it deflects two issues. One, that the first black president who the left so wanted, just because he was black, racist that they are, not because he was qualified, they got what they wanted, and they can't blame him because they put him in, number one. Number two, the Congressional Black Caucus has been around for decades, and they want to blame a three-year-old movement, the Tea Party group, for what? Crime in black neighborhoods? Yeah, crime in black neighborhoods only started 3 years ago, right? Blacks in prison, blacks only started going to prison when the Tea Party movement came up, and that's why our prison populations are now the highest they've ever been, because of the Tea Party movement. Blacks are dropping out of school in droves, and this all just started 3 years ago, right?
Right. Now, look, Kevin, in your book, The Big Black Lie, and I should mention your website, theblacksphere.net, you say some stuff that I think you and I will agree that, at least these days, only a black guy could get away with saying, and even that only barely. I'm sure you get severely beaten about the head and neck rhetorically, if not physically, for some of these things. And you do this chapter, and I ask you to maybe talk to us a little bit about it here, where you have this concept of silly Negroes. And if this is something I were talking about, you know, I don't know what would happen to me. But
is it the bizarro world?
The bizarro world is one part, and then you talk about, you know, Democrats love silly Negroes, and I'm quoting here, Democrats need silly Negroes because they eat what you feed them.
Right. What I talked about, and I made the analogy in going back to, you know, how do black people start eating chitlins? Well, when the master's getting the hog, he's getting the pork loin, and he just gives you the guts, you just do what you can with it. Because you got to eat, and what is essentially happening is the Democrats are feeding blacks the hog guts, and they're telling us that we're eating, you know, pork filet mignon, so to speak, and the whole book is sort of dedicated to the concept that Democrats are liars, and they've continuously act as if they're trying to help us while they're fleecing us and fleecing everybody else around them. So that's really what it's about in a nutshell. Yeah. I'll probably put it more poetically, to be honest with you. The strange thing about a writer is you write something and people have to remind you what you wrote.
I know what you're talking about. It happens to me all the time as well. Now, you know, one thing you mentioned to me in an email yesterday that I'd like you to elaborate on, you know, you're talking about, you know, if Obama loses in 2012, and I hope he does, and assuming that it's not Herman Cain who wins, because it probably won't be, we're going to have a white president in 2012, and you were making an analogy to the O.J. verdict. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, sure, because what's going on with these flash mobs is you're being set up. You know, the blacks are going around beating up whites, and as they did in Wisconsin. They're robbing stores in these flash mobs. Nothing's really happening. You haven't heard of any prosecutions from what happened in Wisconsin. You know, even with videotape. Videotape of flash mobs going into stores, nothing's happening. In Peoria, Illinois, they warn, just stay in your houses, people. You know, that's their solution. So you've got this civil unrest, and it's all brewing up that if you don't reelect the black president, then this is what you have to pay attention to. The Congressional Black Caucus going on this flash mob tour to all the black enclaves. This is why they want blacks in one area. They can go somewhere fast. They can hit them and tell them it's all racist. They don't want the president to succeed because he's black, yada, yada, yada. So when he loses, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to have black neighborhoods destroyed. You're going to have white people getting beat down. And it's all just going to be par for the course because, hey, we should be expecting that. The black president didn't win. And he's not going to win. So this is what they've got to kind of set the stage for is, hey, look, it could be civil unrest if we don't let this black guy win again, and making it racial when it's all about policy. That's all this is about.
Let me ask you, this is sort of a slightly personal question, about me, rather than about you. And I should mention, your book, The Big Black Lie, it is amazing reading your life story. It is not like any other life story that I've ever read or heard of. People should definitely get this book. When I talk about politics and economics on the radio. It's happened to me a couple of times, including, I think, on this show, where I talk about the welfare state and the war on drugs as two government policies that have done more damage to the black community than anything else, in modern times. And the phone calls I get are frequently along the lines of, who are you, white boy, to be talking about this stuff?
Yeah, well, who are you to make an observation that's obvious, right?
Right.
Who are you to be exposing the dirty laundry that exists within the black community? And, oh, by the way, exists within all communities. And this is what's really funny. The black Congressional Black Caucus is going around because they want to talk about black issues. Well, what are black issues? Is unemployment just a black issue, or is it an issue? Is crime in neighborhoods a black issue, or is it an issue? Is education or the miseducation of America an issue for blacks, or is it an issue for everybody? You know, you're just saying, look, here's the issue. The issue's exacerbated in the black community. Let's take a look at why the issue is so heavy here, because we can put a spotlight on where the epicenter of the issue may be occurring.
But I'm not even allowed to talk about it, apparently.
You can't talk about it. You're a racist if you do. But here's my point. You talk about it anyway, because you're not a racist. And that's the problem in America, is that everybody, they want to react to something. You're a racist. No, I'm not. You're a racist. Shut. Yeah, whatever. You know, when you can dismiss the idea that you're a racist or tell somebody, I tell you what, you explain to me how I'm a racist, and then when they and call them a racist, and as they continue to say the things, you remind them they're the ones who voted for a guy because he's black. They're the ones who want people put into boxes so you can determine, oh, he's a black, heterosexual, 4'8", you know, whatever, quadriplegic. Why do you want to put people in these confining boxes when I say let people be people and individuals endowed by their creator?
Well, hallelujah to that, Kevin Jackson. I'm sorry we don't have more time with you this morning. It's great having you on the show. Again, Kevin's book, The Big Black Lie, and Kevin, what's the title of your upcoming book?
Sexy Brilliance and Other Political Lies. They can find it on theblacksphere.net.
Yeah, everyone check that out. Kevin, keep up the good work, and I look forward to getting you back on the show again in the near future.
All right, man. You take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. So that was Kevin Jackson. Just he is a remarkable guy. And I know this is such an incendiary topic. You almost have a hard time figuring out even how to approach it. But if you want to talk about race in politics and why is it that we who are not black are somehow forbidden from talking about things when our intention is to help black Americans where the Democrats manifestly haven't helped them. I'd love to get your take, 303-713-8585. We'll talk about that and much more when we come back after these words right here on News Radio 850 KOA.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Welcome back to the Mike Rosen Show. Ross Kaminsky in for Mike today. What a great privilege to be here with you. We just had Kevin Jackson on, and he is a remarkable guy, a black Tea Party activist, comedian, and author. And, you know, reading his book, it really is remarkable what you learn about Democrats and blacks. And it makes it all the more remarkable when you think about how loyal black voters are to the Democratic Party. And Kevin spends a big chunk of his book explaining how every major piece of civil rights legislation, starting at the Civil War and including going up through the Civil Rights Act of 1964, was a product of Republicans. And that even in the 1964 bill, which President Johnson ended up signing, even though in a prior speech he had opposed it. Well, basically what President Johnson said was that blacks were getting uppity, and that was his word, not my word. President Johnson said blacks were getting uppity, and we need to do a little something for them to pacify them so that they don't get too much political power. That's the Democrats. Do you understand? That's the Democrats. When that bill passed Congress, and Johnson eventually signed it because of the politics, he had to sign it, it passed with a much higher percentage of Republican votes, 80-something percent of Republicans voted for it, 60-something percent of Democrats voted for it. And still here we are with the Democratic Party owned and owning the black population in America, and I just don't understand it. Let's go to the phones. Don in Denver, welcome to the Mike Rosen Show. What's on your mind, Don?
Yeah, hi. Years back, I visited a buddy that was working over in West Africa and had a great time there. It was an amazing country, amazing people, and being there and stuff, he mentioned actually something that a black person over there mentioned to him, a book by a black American author. I think it was Out of America or something, but there was a quote the guy said that said, "Thank God my ancestors were slow," and he meant by that, it's like, well, thank God they got caught by, you know, slave traders. And, you know, I mean, I know slavery is bad, but he came over to this country. Now the guy's an entrepreneur, an author, and you know, hundreds of years ago, it's like, could have died from famine, tribalism, and a lot of that was, you know, black on black. But, you know, so I guess, and then in there in Africa, too, a lot, you know, some of the Africans they get turned off a bit by the term, you know, African Americans that come over there and say, you know, we're African American, and they say, well, you have no idea what it's like here in Africa, and you know, you're on welfare with a TV and a microwave and a refrigerator, and you know, parts of Africa, you you're happy if you got, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. And
you're exactly right. You know, Don, I just got back from almost 4 weeks in South Africa myself, and South Africa is better off than a lot of other places, despite all the political turmoil down there. But still, you're right. And actually, you know what? I have the book that you're talking about. It's called Out of America: A Black Man Confronts Africa. It's a very interesting book, with the idea being that you know, blacks need to stop talking about African Americans and just start talking about Americans. But, you know, political correctness has gone so crazy. I heard a story just recently. This will show you how far it's gotten, right? A reporter on the BBC, on BBC Radio in England, was talking about blacks in England and came to this some part of the news report she was reading where it said blacks, and it must have been written blacks in her script, and she kind of hesitated, and instead of saying blacks, she said African Americans in England, talking about blacks in England. I mean, this kind of, and Don, thank you for your call, this kind of political correctness is, I mean, it's sweeping the globe. But you know what, the problem isn't so much this term or that term. The problem becomes when people say that I and you and anyone who isn't black can't talk about political issues and public policy that affect the black community. I mean, has this ever happened to you? Again, love to get your take, 303-713-8585. Has it ever happened to you that you've brought up some kind of political or economic issue that kind of delved into differences between races and you kind of felt like you got shot down, you couldn't talk about it, somebody got mad at you for talking about it, even though you're only approaching it with the best of intentions? I mean, that's happened to me a lot. Especially, you know, I blog a lot. I guess my moment of shameless self-promotion, my website is rossputin.com, rossputin.com, if you want to read any of my work. But it's very, very hard to approach these issues. In the meantime, though, the Congressional Black Caucus, as Kevin Jackson mentioned, is kind of on the warpath here. They're not getting what they want. And many of you might have heard Congresswoman Maxine Waters from Los Angeles. Basically, we're speaking to some of her. Actually, she wasn't in her district. She was in Detroit, and she said to this audience in Detroit, "Hey, we, the Congressional Black Caucus, aren't really criticizing Barack Obama as much as we want to because we know you like him. If you give us permission to criticize him, we'll criticize him more." I mean, do you ever hear a white politician, a white congressman going to a white audience and saying, "We're afraid of criticizing George W. Bush because he's white and we know that you white people are, you know, don't like us criticizing him"? I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, she got permission from the black audience to criticize the black president, and now they're doing it. And it's going to be a big problem, actually, for Barack Obama, because you, in this time when you have very close elections where states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina could be very close, if black voters, I mean, they're not going to vote Republican, okay? Black voters are not going to vote Republican, but they might stay home. And if black voters stay home in Philadelphia and Charlotte and Cleveland and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and whatever, and these places, you could see an election that turns into a landslide. And I'm not just talking about the presidential election, but you could see a large Republican majority in the Senate if blacks stay home because they're so demotivated by what they see going on. Meanwhile, a new poll came out yesterday. Obama's approval hits an all-time low of 41% among women. Again, the reason that I want to mention this, first of all, women support Democrats more or Republicans less than men by a very substantial amount, basically all the time. It's usually close to 10% kind of thing, where women lean more Democrat. So if Barack Obama starts losing women, that's an even bigger problem for him than if he starts losing black voters. They're both a huge problem for him. Of course, he's earned losing them both. I mean, I don't know what he's done. The Gallup poll last week showed that 41% of women say that they approve of the way Barack Obama is handling his job. I mean, I guess what's remarkable is not that the number is down to 41%. It's that the number is still 41%. I mean, who approves of the way this guy is doing his job? In any case, what you see happening here is that, again, as Kevin Jackson mentioned, Democrats and liberals want to put people in these boxes and define them by their groups. You're black, you're handicapped, you're homosexual, you're whatever. You're in this victim group, and therefore we are going to think of you as victims, and we are going to pass laws that treat you as victims rather than as American citizens born with the same right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that the rest of us have. This approach is an acid being poured on the foundation of our republic, and it just has to stop. When we come back, we'll talk about this much more. We've got a couple open lines, 303-713-8585. Stay with us right here through the bottom of the hour news with Jerry Bell. We'll be right back.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Welcome back to the Mike Rosen Show. Ross Kaminsky in for Mike. We've been talking about race and racism, or actually what we've been talking about is talking about race and racism. We can't even talk about issues as they relate to blacks, let's say, without being accused of something. I can't write or talk about, for example, how the war on drugs has done tremendous damage to the black community without getting a phone call from a black person saying, look, you're not black, you don't understand, to which I say, I have not lived your life. You are right, I have not lived your life. But that does not mean that I can't see cause and effect here, and it also doesn't mean that I don't care. You know, so to me, I find it very destructive, very unhelpful, and especially in this time when we elected Barack Obama and now we're supposed to be in this post-racial environment. We're talking more about race now than we have during my lifetime of political awareness. You know, I was born in the 60s, so maybe I started paying attention to politics in the late 70s. We're talking more about race now than we have during the last 30 years, because we've got a president who was supposed to be post-racial, but instead he and his minions, since they're losing based on actual results, are turning to the race card in order to try to divide this country. And I think it's sickening. Jim and Thornton, welcome to the Mike Rosen Show.
Yeah, you mentioned Maxine Waters, and you forget to mention the fundamental difference between Barack Obama and President George Bush. Could you tell me the fundamental difference?
Why don't you tell me?
Why don't you tell me? It's you're the guy who's making the problem.
The fundamental difference.
The fundamental difference.
Okay, the fundamental difference between the two of them. Well, there's a few. Here's the biggest one. Barack Obama came into office saying that his goal was to fundamentally transform America. So the difference between these two men is that George Bush basically loves America, and you know, there's always
you're
something.
Barack Obama doesn't love America. Are you pushing that crap?
Yes, and I mean, when Michelle Obama said that Barack Obama's nomination was the first time in her life that she had been proud of her country. I'm putting you on hold for a second, Jim. You're going to let me finish my sentence, and then I'll let you finish yours. When Barack Obama campaigns by saying he wants to fundamentally transform America, and when Michelle Obama says she's never been proud of her country, are you telling me that I shouldn't believe them? Either they don't like their country or they're liars. Which is it, Jim?
The fundamental difference is, which you failed to mention, is Barack Obama, it's plainly simple, is the very first black president in the United States. So it means a heck of a lot more to black people. So you obviously don't even know their perspective. That's the fundamental difference.
Sir. But that's you are
so
right about that.
There's a reason
that.
For
no,
her
I
not
grant
to
you,
step on Barack Obama, as you now know.
I grant you that point, that it is very important to blacks and very important to many whites that we elected
yes,
our
is.
First black president. I was very happy that this country had it in us to elect a black president. I wish it had been almost anyone else. I wish it had been almost any other. It's not about that he's black. It's that he's bad. It's that he's wrong. It's that he's incompetent. And it's that nobody should be surprised by this because he had never accomplished anything before.
Well,
so
sir,
you know
what? Tell me that people aren't racial also, because do you know how many doors I've knocked on here in northern Boulder County and Weld County, and how many times I heard people say the N-word about that guy? So you're not going to take that away from me, sir. There are a ton of racists in the Republican Party.
There are a ton of racists everywhere.
There are racists in the Republican Party.
I'm going to put you on hold again for a second, Jim. There are plenty of racists everywhere. I will point out to you that the KKK was founded as an arm of the Democratic Party, that every major piece of civil rights legislation starting after the Civil War and going through the 60s happened because of Republicans, with the first big one being signed by Republican President Eisenhower, that Democrats fight them tooth and nail, that Robert Byrd, Senator Robert Byrd, who is mercifully now dead, was a high-ranking leader in the KKK.
And guess what the South votes now? Republicans, sir.
What's that?
The South votes Republican now in the grand majority.
You know what?
They have their heads in Foxhole News. They're fed a bunch of lies.
You know what's interesting to me?
And they're ruining the quality of my life, sir.
You know what's interesting to me, Jim, and I've been to 47 of the 50 states, or if you ask Barack Obama, 47 of the 57 states.
Oh, say your pet graduate.
Oh, come on, that's funny.
Yeah, now, no,
listen,
it's not funny.
I've been in
the way your quality of life is. My quality of life is being ruined. That's what's not funny.
I have been in almost every state in America, and in my personal experience, the integration and just the overall getting along, walking down the street, friendliness between blacks and whites is much better in the South than in the North. Now, I'm not talking about Colorado. I'm talking, I lived in Illinois for a long time, been through the Midwest. I lived in New York for a long time. The difference is actually remarkable. In my personal experience, the relationship, even just down to hi, how are you, how's it going, sitting around having a meal together among blacks and whites, is much better in the South than it is in the North, the Upper Midwest, and all that. So I don't know
what neighborhood you've tried to walk through as a black man, but I've heard stories, dude.
Jim, are you black?
No, I am not.
But I
have friends who are black.
Right.
They told me about that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to, you're big on heading the Foxhole News, aren't you? Have you ever heard of a program called Democracy Now? Do you ever even listen to any liberal program? Maybe to get an idea, maybe. Because I try to debate you Republicans, and you never want to debate. You're into banking deregulation, which is what destroyed our country. Okay? You lied us into a war. You talk about $14 trillion. Tons of that money came from the war that was going to pay. And the gas
Jim, we're getting
China
a little off topic here. Okay, Jim, I'm going to put you on hold for a second here. Jim, I am not afraid to debate you. Let's pick the topic. This isn't a debate. This is a filibuster. If you want to talk about what we're talking about, I'm more than happy to debate you on it. The war issue is another issue. You and I might actually have some agreement there on some of the war stuff. I'm sure we won't agree on the economics, but right now I'm talking about race. And I'm talking about the fact that as a white guy, I am criticized for even trying to talk about public policy that I think is in the benefit of the black community and policies that
How
have no
criticized?
Impact on
I'm
me. For example, the war
right
on
now.
Drugs.
How are we criticizing you?
Not you.
Who criticized you?
They don't
want you talking about it?
Yes, if you play podcasts from other radio shows that I've done and brought this up, I routinely get phone calls from black people saying, "You're not black. Why are you talking about this?" And I think that's a big problem.
I'd like to hear the context.
Pardon?
I would like to hear the context.
The context was, Jim. The context was,
it's so important to black people. You didn't even fail to mention that. course you don't want to mention important parts.
So, listen, Jim, I understand that blacks rightly are extremely proud that a black man was elected president in the United States within you know, less than 50 years ago. We still had segregation in schools and things were very bad. And I am very proud of America, that America elected a black man president. I just wish it hadn't been this black man. Jim, I got to hit a break.
Hey, you know what?
You know what?
We hate you Republicans.
You
know
what? I have an idea. You know what, Jim? Stay with me here for a second, Jim. Hang on the line with me for a second. Let me bring Anthony on the line. Anthony, welcome to the Mike Rosen Show. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you, Ross.
Okay. Anthony, just tell me what's on your mind here.
What's on my mind is I've been listening to this caller for a while, and it amazes me that I'm a Republican, I'm black, and I'm going to tell you why I was no longer a Democrat. Because, see, my mama died on welfare. When she tried to go get a job, couldn't get a job, it wasn't because she was black. Because as soon as she got a job, because she was on welfare, they cut her food stamps. They said, you know what? It's cheaper for me to sit at home and do nothing. And my mama died that way. And you're going to tell me, every black city, every major Democratic city that's ran by Democrats, I get upset because it's guys like this that upset me. In Denver, Colorado right now, who has the highest dropout rate? In any major, Chicago, Miami, L.A., Atlanta. Matter of fact, we only want to talk about what the teachers did in Atlanta, how they helped the black kids by cheating them out of an education. There is not one. And I want somebody to call up. And I want, this upsets me also. Where is there a predominantly white project homes? There doesn't exist. Black people are herded into these places where crime is over the top. Schools are the worst in those school districts. And this guy wants to sit here and tell me that the Democrats are looking out for my best interest.
Sure.
If they've been looking out for our best interest for 40 years, why are we still in the same hole? And why are we still complaining about the same things we were 40 years ago? Because the truth of the matter is, sir, let's make it real simple. They got to keep us neat. You got to keep me. The only thing Democrats promise me is not how to get educated, not how to, you know, read a bank statement, mortgages, high interest rates, or anything like that. They're telling me, go get some food stamps. Go live in a housing project. Take your kids to the worst school there is, and that's a good thing.
And I just say that Republicans are going to help you with schooling. They want to close it down and give vouchers. You have like $20,000 in your school every year?
Yes. Ever since I started, I'm not exaggerating to you. I'm being honest with you. See, I listen to blacks. See, they will talk to you. They don't like white people. There's a lot of black people that are racist. Just because you're white and Republican, you're a racist. It don't matter if they know you from Jack. All you have to do is be a white man and a Republican and you're a racist. That is the definition of racism, regardless. All I'm telling you is right now, when I stopped voting Democrat and I started listening, I'm not going to lie to you. I started listening to other shows, educating myself a little bit. That's when I bought me a home. Before then, I was struggling. I was broke because you know what? Just like everybody else that's black, we think it's some other person's fault that we're in the position we're in. We think that some white guy's holding me down. You're not holding me down. And the one thing that Martin Luther King said, judge me not by the color of my skin, but the content of my character. And every word that came out of your mouth was about racism, about my color. You don't know nothing about being black. But you're going to sit up here and act like you're defending me. Trust me, sir. I don't need you to tell me. Give me an opportunity and get out of my way. That's all I need you to do.
All right, Jim, you got 30 seconds here to respond to Anthony.
Tell me, what have the Republicans done for you? Surely the Democratic Party would like to keep the black people within their caucus and all. Surely. Or within their party. My God, but what do Republicans do for you? They do is help out missed corporations. Case in point. Citizens United, they can dump as much money as they want in the campaigns now and hear these cheesy commercials just completely.
Okay, Jim,
you're getting off the topic.
What
do Republicans do for black people?
Okay,
Ross.
Yeah, Anthony, I'll give you the last 40 seconds here.
You missed the thing, Jim. This is the problem. If I can't be equal to another man when my hand is out, what you just said, what they do for me, I don't want them to do nothing for me. That's the
you
problem.
You've got to make a choice. One is going to do something for me. One does something, and one does nothing.
I don't want you to do nothing for me. Let
sure,
me
they know more welfare
on my own.
It's been 500 years. Get a job. Yeah. The Koreans have jobs. 500 years.
Jim, what's my dream? What do I want to do with my life? Do you know? You have no idea. Stop putting me in the same box as every black man you know.
And I ain't putting you in no box. Dude, I come from Camden, New Jersey, okay? I've been hanging around people my height, all kinds of people, all right? I got one of these Republicans with their white baseball hats and then five of their other friends walking down the street with their white baseball hats.
You know,
I know Al Gore daddy was in the Klan.
All right, guys. That's that was
vote Democrat. Get your head out, Fox.
That was a fascinating debate. Jim, thank you for the call. Jim and Anthony, a great debate. I mean, Anthony made my case far better than I ever could. I mean, there you go. A black Republican saying, I don't want government doing stuff for me. When you tell me you need the government has to do stuff for me, it demeans me. We're going to talk about this and a lot more. Anthony and Jim's lines are open, 303-713-8585. Stay with us right here on the Mike Rosen Show on News Radio 850. KOA.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time home buyers. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Welcome back to the Mike Rosen Show. Ross Kaminsky and for Mike. Let's get right back to it. What an intense conversation we just had between a black Republican and a white liberal. A remarkable conversation. Linda, thanks for your patience. Linda in Colorado Springs, welcome to the show. Only got about a minute, so let's get to it.
Well, hallelujah, Anthony. Nobody ever gets anywhere by getting help. They do it by doing it themselves. I just wanted to share about an editorial in the Gazette in Colorado Springs, and it was on August 22nd, and it was written by the lady who's the chair of Education Committee at the NAACP in Colorado Springs. She starts out by saying, as an African-American parent of two promising children. Now, honestly, why in the world would you start out by saying that? Why wouldn't you say that you are the parent of two wonderful kids? You know, everybody thinks their kids are promising. But this was an editorial about school vouchers, and she's all against the voucher program because she says vouchers promote schools, to promote vouchers, school vouchers in particular, as the civil rights remedies of our time. Well, you know, it's not a civil rights remedy. It's a fairness remedy. We all pay taxes. And she said, you know, she didn't want her taxes and her public dollars to be going to this. Well, you know, all of us are hardworking. We all pay taxes. But I was just flabbergasted by the things that she wrote in the editorial.
Flabbergasted anymore, though. It's par for the course at this point, Linda. I'm sorry, I got to hit a break here, Linda. Thank you so much for the call. You're exactly right, though. It's about being a parent, not an African-American parent. J.D., Barney, Brett, stay on the line. I promise I will get to you right after this top-of-the-hour news here on News Radio 850 KOA. We got one line open, 303-713-8585. Stay with us. We'll be right back.